T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo in studio this afternoon. Richmond up at the ACC meetings in Charlotte. 844-477-3776 is our phone number if you want to get on board today. HealthDare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. By the way, the Rock and Roll Up Your Sleeve blood drive for 2018 is underway as of today as well. And a couple of our sister stations are out today. 93.3 The Planet right now is in Gaffney until 2:30 at least, so for a little while longer, at Freightliner Custom Chassis Corporation, all right, till 2:30. And then they'll be at Harley-Davidson of Spartanburg from 3 until 4:30, and they will be at Walmart, Wade Hampton Boulevard, and Taylor's from 5:30 to 6:30. Classic Rock 101.1 today until 3:30. They're going to be at the Walmart in Anderson, 28 Bypass, and they'll be at the Bilo Woodruff Road, and that's from 5 until 7. So if you want to participate and rock and roll up your sleeve for 2018, those are some of the stops that are on the schedule for today. At the SEC meetings in Atlanta, Freudian, I promise. Alabama coach Nick Saban was on the podium, and he's already ticked off at the media. It's underway. You know, football season is near when Nick Saban is mad. Addressed the quarterback situation as much as he was willing to do when he took to the podium.
And I think the number one thing that you'll want to talk about is the quarterback controversy that you'd love to create, that you've already created, that you will continue to create. And I will tell you the same thing exists there. It's still to be determined as to who's going to play quarterback for Alabama. So you can ask all the questions about it, but it's still to be determined. All right. Two of them basically missed spring practice due to an injury. Jalen had a good spring. Both guys have had great summers. And we're just going to have to see who wins the team in fall camp. So we'll see. So some of your questions, when you ask me about that, I'm going to say, we'll see. So don't get mad at me.
Are the media the ones that are mad? I think Nick's the one that's mad.
Listen, I think he headed it off at the pass. Did they still ask the questions?
Of course they probably still did.
Because they have written, well, I don't have anything else to ask. Well, then just leave.
You're taking Saban's side on this.
I think he was preemptive. I think it was a smart move on his part. I don't think it stopped anybody from asking him. But
Answer me this. How did the media create the quarterback controversy at Alabama? Didn't Nick do that when he pulled his starting quarterback at halftime of the championship game and put another guy in?
It's no different than pulling your starting running back out and putting another running back in.
But the media, there obviously is a quarterback question at Alabama. Did the media create that?
The media has went crazy, including people in this room. One of which is not here. The other I'm looking at. It's just right away. Well, Tua's got to be the starter, and I've never thought that. I think he played decent in one half.
They saved their rear end.
Was it the first pass he threw that was an interception? I know he threw an interception.
He won the game for him.
He may have won the game.
They were dead. Dead in the water.
You got a guy who's struggling, you bring another guy in. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's replaced for the entire season.
All right. That's fair enough. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that there's a question about who's going to start at quarterback. You call it a controversy. Well, it might not be a controversy.
See, that's the thing.
But it's a question.
It's not a controversy, especially if you come in with the mindset that everyone has to earn their position every year. I know coaches say that, but some of them might actually mean it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Saban does mean it, but still.
Why would it bother Nick Saban for us to ask that question? Why would he not fully expect that? Of course he fully expects it. Why would he be irritated about it already?
By the way, he didn't sound bothered to me. I thought it was funny. I thought he was taking a jab. I really did. Yeah. That's the same tone he's Have you seen that one commercial where that girl's trying to buy the dress and he tells her?
Yeah.
That's the same.
I want to rethink that
or
whatever.
Yeah, it's the same tone as he did on that commercial. So I think it's contrived. I think it's made up. Mm. I think he does that the same way that Popovich does it, the same way that Belichick does it. But I think Saban is a lot more personable than the other two guys.
That's personable?
Compared to the other two guys, yeah.
Oh, man. Look, I'm fine with Nick not answering the question. It's just a little irritating that he acts like somebody else created a controversy that he himself created by pulling his starting quarterback at halftime of the national championship game. He did that. Not the media. He did that. So still to be determined is the answer. Now, if there was any news made when Nick Saban took to the podium yesterday, it might be that when he was asked about Jalen Hurts' future with Alabama, he said, "I have no idea." He said, "I expect him to be there." He said, "I think it's our job to give both players a fair opportunity to have a chance to win the team at their position. Both are capable." He said, "We would love for every player on our team to stay at the University of Alabama and graduate. Jalen has a great opportunity to do that in December. So we're hopeful he will stay and be a graduate regardless of what his circumstance is as a player." Okay. That's fine. He's not sounding real confident that Jalen is going to stay. You said it was his father that said he would transfer if he wasn't the starter, and he said that back in the spring sometime.
It was in April. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't blame him. Wants to start at quarterback, and he can't at Alabama, then he can't at Alabama. He can go somewhere else. Somebody will take Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. And we're going to find that out because, guess what? Jalen Hurts is not going to start at quarterback. I 100% guarantee.
Do you?
It would be remarkable in my mind if Jalen Hurts started at quarterback.
Are you next going to say America as we know it?
It will end football in America will go downhill.
Okay.
No, I'm not Larry Fedora. Now, look, Tua's ready. He proved that. He's gives Alabama the options that they need in the passing game, and he'll be the starting quarterback if he's healthy.
He's coming off of an injury. I built an excuse right there.
Yeah, if he's not healthy, that's the only way Jalen Hurts starts at quarterback. But as much as Nick Saban hated it, he was forced into it at halftime of the Georgia game, the national championship game, and there's no turning back now.
I think he plays them both. Has he done that before in the past? Has he played two quarterbacks?
Yeah, he's done a little of that. I mean, he could do that, but I'm talking about who starts and plays most of the time. That's Tua, if he's healthy. And they play Louisville, by the way, which, you know, I know Louisville's not Lamar Jackson Louisville. But that's a pretty heady opponent for the first game. September 1st at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. He's going to have to roll out what he has. He can't limp into that game, certainly a quarterback. So I think Tua is probably going to start game one and just stay the starter. Hurts enrolled early as a freshman, and now he's set to graduate in December. And so as a graduate, he would not have to sit out a year to go play somewhere else. He graduates in December, he can play next year somewhere else.
But he wouldn't be playing this year.
No.
So it's still like you're sitting out a year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not going to transfer in September and start playing somewhere else anyway. So, yeah, I mean, he'll move on. That's the way this is shaping up in my mind.
If it is as his dad says it is, then he's got to believe he's got a shot at it, or he would have already transferred.
I think that's probably fair. He thinks he can win it, still thinks he can win it, or he'd be gone right now. You know, and look, Saban can get him into the game in other ways. Whatever. Put him in, let him run the football. Just bring him in occasionally as a running quarterback. I don't argue that he might not do that. But I think Tua is the man. Tua is the man for Alabama this year. because they want to win another national championship, and he gives them the best opportunity to do that. Willie Taggart, in the meantime, the new coach at Florida State, he says the team did not handle adversity well in 2017, and they have to build more team chemistry. Is that a little shot at Jimbo? Needs more chemistry and accountability. Speaking at ACC Media Days today in Charlotte, Taggart said he was surprised to learn how little Florida State players knew about each other when he became their head coach. They had a 3-6 start last year, won their final four games, won the Independence Bowl game over Southern Miss.
What's that mean? Know about each other.
He said, a big part of caring about someone is you got to get to know your teammates. Our guys really didn't know each other well enough. You're on the same team. You lift weights together and all that. They didn't understand who that person is and where he comes from and what he's been through. I was really surprised, he said. We have guys who've been around here 4 years, and they didn't know certain things about their teammates who they thought they knew really well. So what he did in the offseason was to separate the team into smaller groups, had them talk about their backgrounds and their challenges. He said, you'd be shocked by some of the stories. It'll amaze you because for them to go through some of the things they've been through and still play at a high level is amazing. Cam Akers, the running back who's expected to be a big part of that Florida State offense this year, said Taggart's immediate emphasis was needed after the team didn't have enough accountability or chemistry in 2017. He said it wasn't enforced. Now it's being enforced by a higher power. Coach Taggart, last year it was just whatever we did amongst each other. Are your ears burning a little bit, Jimbo? It's funny how people get tossed under a bus once they're gone, isn't it?
I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. I get how it could help, but I don't see how it could hurt.
How it could hurt to do what?
Not know everything about the guy who's playing next to you.
Well, that's just Taggart's philosophy, I think.
And yeah, he did throw him under the bus, for sure.
A little bit.
But all coaches do things differently. And I don't know why that's necessary to do that.
You know, I mean, and to be public about it, and that's, I guess, a little bit surprising. You know, every time a new coach comes in, he's doing a lot of, well, I know you used to do it this way, but you're not doing that anymore. We're doing it this way. There's a lot of that on small things and big things.
Is it also, well, it's going to take a while for us to win here because we have to change the culture because these guys don't know a lot about each other.
Yeah, is it starting?
And you got to be a family and you got to be a tight unit in order to play as a tight unit. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call it excuse making, though. It might become that if they don't win.
Well, you think they're going to do pretty well, so.
I think they'll do pretty well, yeah. I think they'll be certainly much better. DeAndre Francois at quarterback, they have an open competition, too. I mean, are they saying the same thing? You guys are creating a controversy here. The media is making up this controversy. DeAndre Francois started in 2016, got hurt in the opener against Alabama last year. He's back. But James Blackman, the sophomore, is still there. Blackman started last year. And they have a third guy, redshirt freshman Bailey Hockman, in the competition. Willie Taggart said, I'm like the rest of you. I can't wait to see who separates themselves as we go into the season. As soon as they do that, we will let you all know who our quarterback will be. So he's saying the same thing, but he's just not as hostile toward the media about it as Nick is. He's just saying, we'll let you know. But it's the same deal. It's the same deal in, you know, Clemson, Florida State, Alabama, and other places where you've got a quarterback battle going on. Also, we will hear from Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. Wake Forest coming off a pretty good year last year. By Wake Forest standards, at least, they were 8-5 last year. They were 4-4 in the conference last year. And we will hear from Dave Clawson coming up in the third hour of the huddle today. I want you to hear what Dan Wolken had to say about Larry Fedora's comments yesterday. Dan Wolken is with USA Today, and he was not a fan of Fedora's concussion CTE comments yesterday at the ACC meeting in Charlotte. We'll let you hear that coming up. Stay with us. This is The Huddle. If you want to get on board, 844-477-3776. We'll be right back on ESPN Upstate. We have the preseason coaches poll, but not for the ACC or the SEC. For the Sun Belt out today. The Fun Belt. And here's what the coaches think is going to happen. In the West, they pick Arkansas State to win, followed by Louisiana Monroe. In the East, they're picking App State, but kind of close. 6 first-place votes for App State in the East, and 4 for Troy, followed by Georgia State, Georgia Southern, and Coastal Carolina. And the coaches are picking Arkansas State to be the conference champion in the Sun Belt. That's the Sun Belt coaches poll just out in the past few minutes, for what that's worth. All right, yesterday at ACC Media Days in Charlotte, Larry Fedora made some news, the coach at North Carolina. First of all, he said the game of football is under attack because of the focus on head trauma in recent years. He said, our country will go down too if football is fundamentally changed. And then he questioned the link between CTE and football, between brain injury and football, questioned the proof there. And so a lot of people have been a little bit critical of that. One of them is USA Today's Dan Wolkin. Here's some of what he said.
It's certainly, I think, probably better now than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. But there's still probably a long way to go. And erasing that mentality of, well, you know, he just got his belt wrong, or, you know, you got to tough it out. I think you've got to be extra careful when you're talking about young men's lives and not exposing them to unnecessary harm. And that sort of mentality that he espoused today, where you're kind of doubting the science that's out there, is dangerous. And I think it does make me wonder whether he's fit to lead a program of young men who are not paid professionals, but unpaid amateurs.
Yeah, in his column, in fact, Dan Wolkin went a little further. He said, no need to dance around it. If Fedora actually believes what he said, he's too dumb to coach college football and should be fired immediately. Wolkin said, it's one thing to be a know-nothing rube with no sense of perspective or understanding of American history. It's another to be a rube who is in charge of the well-being of 85 college students on scholarship and denying the mountain of science that has linked head trauma in football to significant health problems later in life. So the former means Fedora is simply an embarrassment to the University of North Carolina. The latter means he's a danger to the players he's coaching. What do you think about that? He's bringing it pretty strong.
He's entitled to his opinion, but that's all it is an opinion, because all that matters is the powers that be where he works. And if they don't have a problem with him, then he's fine.
Well, we don't know yet whether they have a problem with him, right, since yesterday. I don't know that anybody where he works has had anything to say about that.
The only outcry that you're hearing is from guys like this guy.
So far?
Yeah.
So far. It was just yesterday.
But, you know, if he wants it, if a crusade is started, which it sounds like it might be starting by people who are so offended, maybe they will get him to lose his job.
Yeah,
and
look,
they can feel vindicated for doing it.
I don't think Fedora needs to be fired, but is it smart to say that? Is it smart to act like the link between CTE and football is not there?
You know,
is it smart for a football coach to say that?
I know this isn't related, but is it smart to say the earth is flat? I mean, some people...
Well, Kyrie's not in charge of
I know,
85 kids.
I understand that. But what I'm saying, some people don't necessarily agree with the science. And give the guy a chance to really explain himself. I mean, you're up on a podium, you say stuff sometimes, maybe you don't mean it in the way it comes out.
Mm.
So let's see. And do we have definitive proof of that CTE is that caused by football? I mean, there's just so much that we don't know yet. Do we know that football's dangerous? Yeah, that's not going to change. Football, as long as it stays the way it is going to be dangerous, no matter how much they improve the equipment.
Well, Larry Fedora seems to think not. I mean, he's all but saying that, right?
There is a crusade to get rid of football. I mean, because of the CTE and because of this. And listen, there are people out there who want it completely gone. And I get that, and I get why they want it gone. And I'm trying to imagine a world without football.
Our country will go down. You and Larry believe that? That will go down if football doesn't stay
the same? Me and Larry and guys like us.
I don't know that there's a – is there really a crusade against football, or are people just paying attention to the evidence here?
I think there are a lot of people who jump on things, whether they are passionate about it or not, because everybody else is. I just worry about football. I do.
Well, I understand that, and that's fair. You know, the future of football can be questioned without, you know, questioning the – reality of CTE. I think it's pretty real. I don't think there's any doubt about that anymore.
I just and I know Richmond touched on this, I think, yesterday too. I think about all the lessons that I learned from football.
That's fair.
And that other kids will learn from football. And I don't get, you know, the parents who I would never let my kid play that, but they let him go out and play soccer, or they let him go out and play something else where you can just as easily get a concussion without equipment.
Just as easily? I don't know about that.
Get kicked in the head, you can get a concussion.
It can happen.
And people get kicked in the head all the time.
Okay, you know, football could be in trouble. I got that. But are we still going to question CTE being real?
I guess what it is, for me, if someone says something, I do not want to destroy them. Right. Let's see what the history of that person is. Does he have a history of saying a bunch of stuff like this?
I don't know.
If it was, what's his name from Washington State? I don't know. Or
Leach?
Yeah. If Leach said this, would it be the same outcry? Or would it be like, yeah, it's just him. He's out looking for Bigfoot again, you know, and they just brush it off. I think it's who says it has a lot to do with it, too. If it's one of those guys who you consider a little bit off the rocker, but he's funny, so it's okay, then you let it go. But if it's some guy like this, then you're going to go after him.
Well, I mean, it's not shocking that Fedora's a little bit out there. He has that reputation. Maybe not Mike Leach out there, but a little bit out there. And, you know, this is how he makes his living. And I understand that he's worried about football. I do understand that. A lot of people are. But I just don't think you should question the connection between football and brain injury. I think that's become clear. This is my opinion. And also, you know, it's a bridge too far to me to say that the country's going to go down if football goes down.
Well, you know what? I don't want to see it happen, so that way we won't find out one way or another.
It's going to change. I mean, that's clear, you know. But they're making it safer. Is there an attack on football? Will Muschamp said this morning, he doesn't think there's an attack on football. There's a coach that doesn't think football is under
attack.
There's
a coach who looked and saw the outcry that's happening on Fedora and is smart enough to not say anything. Yeah. That's whether he believes it one way or another. I think in 20 years from now, everybody would be wearing mech suits, so it won't matter anyway. So it'd be like watching robots play. There may be guys inside of them, but they're going to be very protected.
It'll be a different game somewhere. 844-477-3776. Dan Wilkins, the only one I've seen suggesting that Larry Fedora should probably not be the football coach, should be fired immediately. If he actually believes what he said, he hasn't backed off of it, so you have to assume he believes what he said, right?
So you want him gone?
No, I said that. I wouldn't fire him.
Okay.
I wouldn't fire him.
Well, obviously, Walken would like to see him gone, and there'll be other people out there. We'll see how much power they have if they can get him gone.
Well, I mean.
Or will the university tell him he has to issue an apology, all that kind of stuff? I'm sorry if what I said offended some journalist somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know,
it won't just be journalists, by the way. It'll be people who, you know.
Well, so far it's just been journalists, but said journalists will go to, you know, congressmen and things like that, and they'll worry about this instead of important things.
Let's see. It's not important that people are getting their brains bashed.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's about some guy saying something.
Let's go to Delvin on this. Delvin, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Yeah, I'm talking about the thing. Larry Fedora thing. What he said, you know, you sometimes you got the signs out there. That's what I'm going to leave to the signs. But I want to talk about what John Fowler said. Have you seen him more excited about something than I've seen him before? He's so excited about the network. He was going to tell him that we look for talent now. We got everything processed. We ready to lunch. I mean, I never seen him excited like that before.
Swafford? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Swafford. And that's just the phase. You say phase one of the project or the HSC where it's and love it. He was so excited about the logo and everything. I mean, I never seen that excited, but he was just giving me. I mean, he was like, it's like he was ready for the network to launch right then and there.
Well, he is.
He's excited for that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe he need to talk to. He wanted money. Maybe he need to talk to Dan Rather, Coach, and Clemson where they paid money out today.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're putting it out there, making Venables the highest paid assistant in college football history. Apparently, look, John Swafford is tired of the SEC network bringing in all the bucks for all these years. They were behind, and you know, I think he's ready to go tomorrow. You know, it's not going to be bringing in the same kind of money that the SEC network is, but it gets him back on more even ground, and it'll help every school in the ACC. So sure, he's excited.
Yeah, you think they get a man like cable network, like the big cable company try to buy like the SEC network, like Charter Spectrum and all those? You think they're gonna try to do like they did with the SEC network?
Yeah, I mean, I think people will pick it up. Don't you know? Again, maybe not as extensive as SEC is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and look, you got basketball. Basketball is a bigger deal in the ACC than it is the SEC, so they can make a lot of money there.
We found it out today with Brad Brown. In his contract, you need to go talk to Clemson. See how they get that money.
Yeah, they're not lacking with funds over there. That's for sure. Thank you, Delvin. We appreciate it. Brad Brownell, in case you missed it, picking up an extension today that is 6 years, $15 million. So that's $2.5 million a year on average for Brad Brownell. A guy that was on the hot seat a year ago, but had a good year and now he's sitting pretty. So congratulations. I think he earned it, and he got it today. 844-477-3776, text line 71307. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. So at Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland, the Open. Rolling on first round play today. In fact, we've got finals in on most of the golfers. There's still a handful of golfers out there on the course, but most of the guys have finished up, and that 5-under 66 from Kevin Kisner from Aiken, South Carolina, has held up so far. He has a one-shot lead over three golfers, Erik van Rooyen, Tony Finau, and Xander Lombard at 4-under par with 67s. At 68s today, two shots back, Brandon Stone, Ryan Moore, and Brendan Steele. We have the biggest names in golf, not at the top of the leaderboard. So far at the Open, Danny Willett at 2-under. He's among the golfers at 2-under. John Rahm's at 2-under. Rory McIlroy at a 69 today. He's at 2-under, as is Zach Johnson and Justin Thomas. So you're starting getting some of the big names as you get down to 2-under, three shots off the pace. Nobody's really made a big move, though. Matt Kuchar finished with a 1-under 70 today. Ricky Fowler, 1-under 70 on the day. Henrik Stenson, also a 70 on the day. And moving on down the line, Adam Scott had a 71. Jason Day had a 71. So now I have the Tiger Woods has fallen back to par, Lonzo. He was at 2-under earlier.
And he just hit a horrible shot. So
is he slowing down?
Yeah.
He is on 16, and he's at even par today. So Ricky Fowler among our groups in our golf draft yesterday. My golfer, Ricky Fowler, is best of the lot so far at minus one, but that's not great. That's not great. Jordan Spieth finished with a 72 today. That's a plus one. Jimmy Walker, also a 72. Lee Westwood, 72. Tommy Fleetwood, one of your guys, 72 today for plus one. Mark Leishman, another one I got. My guys had a 72 for a plus one. Who else? Mickelson finished up early today with a plus two, 73 for Phil today, lefty, as did Ernie Els. Bernhard Langer, another one of your guys, plus two, 73 on the day. And let's see, Retief Goosen had a 74 today, plus 3. Hideki Matsuyama is plus 3 through 14 holes. He's one of the guys still out there. Patrick Reed on Richmond's list, he had a 75 today, plus 4. Bryson DeChambeau, another one of your choices, is plus 4 through 15 today. Dustin Johnson, one of my guys, plus 5, 76. Dustin does not appear to be headed to win the British Open.
He might be off a little early.
Yeah, he could miss the cut. 76, we'll see where the cut line is tomorrow, but plus 5 is not good. Sergio, also plus 5, still on the course at hole number 16. David Duval, remember when he was good? He had an 80 today.
He's still playing?
Yeah. He had a plus 9, an 80 today. Yeah, he hadn't had a good round in a while. So that's some of the high. Oh, Bubba Watson plus 4. He's headed to 18 right now, so he's not having a good one either. And you look at this golf course. It looks like some of the bad public courses that I've played in my life.
Yeah, it looks really, really. I mean, there are patches of green here and there, but yeah, it's
a lot of brown.
How fast must it be?
Yeah.
Because these balls are rolling when these guys hit them.
Well, it's dry. They thought, you know, the weather might be an issue, and it's really dry, and there are some wind kicking up. But, you know, conditions not terrible right now. I've seen a lot of guys in those bunkers because you can't stop the ball from rolling. So eventually it's going to hit a bunker, unless it's just right down the middle. And that's where a lot of these guys have been, in bunkers at the British Open. But anyway, Kevin Kisner with his 66 today has the lead, so he's in great shape. And Rory McIlroy at minus 2, so he's one of the bigger names in good shape. Just 3 shots off the pace at the British Open. We'll talk about that a little more in our 3 questions segment coming up, but it's been you know, a decent day out on the course. The scores are just kind of average right now, but minus 5 is a good score for Kisner, who has the 1-shot lead so far as play is getting pretty close to wrapping up. I don't see anybody. Let's see. I got a group on hole number 13. Well, there's a group on hole number 11. That's the furthest back anybody is. So got a few guys that are on 11, 12, and then they'll wrap up. But most everybody's in the clubhouse with the first round of the Open today. And, you know, one of golf's majors. And the next to the last one of the year, big purse, $10.8 million. The defending champion, of course, is Jordan Spieth, who won this thing last year. All right, final break of this hour, and we will be back. 844-477-3776 if you want to get in with us. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in. Final segment of this hour in The Huddle. Dabo's wrapped it up for Clemson at ACC Media Days. See if we can get a hold of our guy, Richmond Weaver, in the next hour. Get his thoughts on what Coach Sweeney had to say as the ACC contingent wraps up their meeting up in Charlotte. 844-477-3776 is our number if you want to get with us here in The Huddle. Text line is 71307. That is the Health Dare text line. And at ESPN Upstate on Twitter. You heard this talk about with LeBron at the Lakers about them coming up with their own version of the death lineup by putting LeBron at center. So the death lineup, supposedly, for the Lakers would be Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and LeBron.
It looks fast. I mean, it looks really, really fast.
I mean, because, you know, their best center is JaVale McGee. They're not really stacked at center there with that team. So maybe they do this some?
Well, I mean, centers aren't as big as they used to be, yep. As far as position goes. So,
can you play defense with that lineup, though? Can you protect the rim with that lineup? That would be the question. Right?
It depends on who. You're only going to put them out there in certain situations,
yeah.
Probably. So
right.
You may not have to worry about protecting the rim.
I mean, these guys are long. They're not centers, but there's some long guys out there, and certainly LeBron
He's blocked a shot or two.
He's athletic and can do a certain amount of rim protection, I guess. That'll be fascinating to watch. I'd like to see that. I don't know how much they'll do it, but would like to see that since they weren't able to go out and get a big-time center and doesn't look like they're going to.
How would that lineup do against Golden State, though? I think you got to pretty much any lineup they put out there, you got to think, how would this do against Golden
State? Could they handle Draymond with that lineup?
I don't know.
Be all right. Probably be all right. I guess the expectation is that Lonzo is going to be part of the deal, right?
Seems like. I would think he would have already been gone if he wasn't.
Yep. Don't seem to be making much of a move there. I mean, there's a lot of talk that, you know, the Lakers lineup that they put out there in October may not be the same one they have as we get into February and March of next year.
What if they're winning? What if they go out there and they're doing a really good job?
Yep. That's true. Not a lot of people thinking the Lakers are going to make a real playoff run in year number one. But I've said this before. How does a team with LeBron James not even make the playoffs? I think they probably figure out a way to do it.
They'll end up 7 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah. Last season, according to calculations, he actually played center a little bit for the Cavaliers, LeBron did. 1.5% of the time that he was on the floor. That's not a lot. But he's done it. The most productive lineup for the Cavs when he was in there at center featured George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, and Jeff Green. That group played just 22 minutes together. They're less experience around LeBron with the Lakers. So we'll see. And how about Lou Alding? Could it be a stopgap as a small center? He's kind of semi-retired now. May not play again in the NBA, but could. He could have a change of heart. Maybe LeBron can talk him into it. We'll see. It's going to be fascinating to watch this Lakers team and see how they look next year. And again, how they look next year compared to how they'll look a little further down the road is debatable.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.